Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Tom Fitzmaurice with the second course of The Food Show. It's our program about food, wine, delicious things, sometimes not so delicious things. I mean, we find them now and then. We're talking today to a great extent about champagne, and it's Adam from the Aquistapace Grocery in Covington, and here we are, and we
excitement if you're just tuning in. I almost killed Adam a little earlier when I opened a champagne bottle.
It was sparkling wine.
That's terrible. If I had killed you, it would have been much better champagne.
It was actually, you did open champagne.
Oh, it was champagne.
That's right.
Okay, let's talk about that one. What is that?
Yeah, sure. So out of the three that I brought, so this is actually the only champagne, and I brought this one for a few reasons. One, it's
exciting.
It's exciting. So it's like the almost
delicious.
It's almost the complete opposite of the previous wine. Not only is it from Champagne, France, but this wine is predominantly Pinot Noir.
Well, I like Pinot. Pinot Gris is like my favorite white.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to have another hit of that.
Yeah, sure. You go ahead.
Pinot just means berry.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Pinot just means berry?
It's the berry. You know, that's where the word comes from. Hello? Everyone seems to be flabbergasted by that.
Like grape. Like grape or berry.
Grapes.
Yeah.
Oh, Chef Andrea is here. So let's talk to Chef Andrea.
All right. It's time now for a visit with Chef Andrea.
Yeah.
And, Sarah.
Buonasera.
And you know, I was...
Buon Natale.
Buon Natale, yeah.
I was talking about you yesterday or the day before, and I said I was going to call you to get the information about this. There is a little kind of a treat or a lot of people get from Italy. And
Panettone?
Panettone. Yeah.
Si.
Yeah. What is that?
I bought a little baby one at Aquistapace.
Panettone is a traditional, classical bread. It's like a soft, moist, made with all purpose flour. You know, we normally use the baking flour and eggs and yeast. And a little touch of cornstarch, a little touch of the baking soda, raisins in there, and a little touch of the moist of Marsala wine import from Italy. And what we do, we mix everything together, whip them up, and then we put them in a very special form. It's like Il Duomo in Milano. That's where the panettone come from, Il Duomo in Milano. Motta, it's M-O-T-T-A.
Let me get this straight. Panitello.
Panettone.
Panettone. Yeah. Okay. And how do you spell it?
P-A-N-E-T-T-O-N-E. Pane. Okay. Pane is like
a
bread.
Are you making your own, Andrea? You're making your own panettone?
Yeah. We make our own panettone. Okay. Yeah. So, and panettone comes from pane. You know, pane is P-A-N-E. That's bread. We make our own bread here, as you know, for many, many years. But also, panettone comes from the bread, the ration of the words. But was created in Milano many, many years ago, but over 100 years ago. And the most known in Europe, in the world right now, is panettone Motta, M-O-T-T-A, or Alemania. Alemania, like Germany. In Italy, we say Alemania. Alemania is a word for panettone. That was a German chef was in Italy. And also the company became very famous, and they called Panettone Alemania. Alemania is one of the best panettone in the world. Very rare, you see. Maybe New York, Chicago, San Francisco.
Yeah, we were wondering, and that's yeah. what
I was about to
up.
Say. I hope you finish this before I get drunk on Le Bruyere.
Oh, yeah,
hey, that might happen.
going on at your restaurant, you have Christmas upon you, Christmas Eve. You have yep. New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. All
Correct.
Of this are for most people the busiest. Time of the year for the restaurant business.
That's
so, what
correct.
You got there, Andrea? What's happening?
We have some nice, wonderful Revaya menu, which is people really enjoy that. It's a really wonderful, wonderful meal. We have a 4-course meal that you can enjoy with a very reasonable, affordable price. And but you have several different choose from the appetizer. Then you have a salad, and then you have the entree, and then desserts. I'm going to give you some highlights of the entree. The one of our guest favorite this time of the year is seven more than fresh fish that we call Frutti di Mare Cioppino. It's like a bouillabaisse, really one of our guest favorite. The other one is a very fresh, beautiful red snapper. And the other one is, I really love this time of the year, bountiful, beautiful came in. It's flesh from the Palermitana style.
Yeah. Right.
And, of course, roast. Crispy duckling and yeah. some wonderful
and all the fish. Different ones. Yeah, I know you do more than one different kind of.
It's really outstanding. The Revaya menu, and you don't have to choose the whole menu. You can choose a couple of items. Some people say, "Well, it's too much for me to eat all the food. Can I have one or two?" Yes, you can. Anything yeah, yeah. guests want,
Andrea.
Your home
is their home. They're,
anyway.
We have a Christmas Eve, a wonderful Christmas
yeah.
Eve.
Yep.
We have a Christmas Day. We open from 11 to 8. And mm-hmm. then please, ladies and gentlemen, make a reservation for New Year's Eve. Bring the New Year 2020 with Andrea with live music, live band, Bobby Holder and the orchestra, dancing and the wonderful, great food. And we'd love to have you. But please
right.
make a reservation.
Yeah, that's essential, and especially this
plenty
time.
Plenty parking, ample yeah. free parking. You have to worry about parking.
All of this is at Andrea's. It's right across Causeway Boulevard from Lakeside Mall. He is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. He is open for all the holidays we're talking about. And we'll see you down the rope, buddy.
Hey,
we'd
love to have you. We'd love to see you. My home is your home. Happy there. Holidays. Buon Natale. Felice Anno Nuovo. To all, thank you for all your support. Have a 2019 great finishing and a great opening 2020.
Yes, home is your home.
Ciao, grazie.
Thank you.
Ciao, Andrea.
Ciao, Bella.
See
ciao, Bella.
Bye. It's the food show. Do 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 do.
The cage. I've learned so much today. Now
the
I
cage.
Say the cage. And I think I think my next opening will be better. Okay, so tell us about this divine champagne that you brought.
Yeah. So this is a real. So this is a real champagne. So the wine is from Champagne, France.
Mm-hmm.
Is that this one?
No.
No, it's this one right here. Here you go. Try it. Here,
I haven't even seen it yet.
You'll like that one.
No, we poured it. That's you. Yeah. Okay,
is this named for Paul Labriere?
No, but so look, this is a little small producer. So you asked me to bring uh-huh. something that makes me maybe a little bit to the left field a little bit. So I brought this because it's kind of interesting.
Because it's delicious.
Yeah, it's very good.
It's very good.
So the family was originally from, I think, around Beaujolais, which is in the eastern mm-hmm. part of France. So they have some projects even in Burgundy, but. This vineyard, so this was not a winery before, it was a vineyard, mm-hmm. and it's predominantly Pinot Noir, and they were selling off all of their fruit and all of their wine, and they were selling off all their fruit to Moët for Dom Perignon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing about
they said,
that.
We can do this ourselves.
About 30, yeah. 40 years ago.
Yeah, so.
And I was on a train that was going just right around the Champagne area.
Yeah.
And it was, this is something they take very seriously.
Yes.
Yeah. So here it was.
Okay. So then they decided to.
So they said, well, you know, we're just going to, so they're making their own wine.
Is this a new winemaker?
No. I don't know how long, I'm not sure how long the winemaker has been around.
Uh-huh.
I've been carrying these wines for a couple of years. I first tried them in France about two years ago.
Uh-huh.
Interestingly enough, in Bordeaux.
Okay.
But I go shopping in Bordeaux for you guys every spring.
Oh, it's a tough job, somebody's got to do it.
I do. I sacrifice myself.
Yeah.
So, but I brought this because I thought it would be an interesting difference between the Schramsberg. And there's something unique about the wine. So a lot of people, times people will ask, well, I want something that's a little bit smaller for some family-owned place. On a champagne bottle, it actually tells you whether they buy the grapes or they own the grapes.
Really?
Oh, now that's a great development. I didn't know about that. I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah. So
because there was a time when that absolutely was not in force.
Yeah. So there's on the back side of the label, if it says NM, so it means it's a négociant wine. Mm. And it's teeny, teeny, tiny. And if it says RM, it means récoltant manipulant. So it means that they do it all themselves.
Huh.
There are some other designations, but those are the two predominant ones that you will see is NM and RM. Just because it's a négociant wine does not make it a bad product. It just means that they're buying wine or they're buying fruit. I mean, you know, Ruinart is technically a négociant wine, but Ruinart is outstanding champagne.
How much is that, Ruinart?
Ruinart's probably between $65 and $85 a bottle.
And what about this one?
This is about $53.
Mm-hmm. It's 54, delicious.
54. Yeah, and I bring this to tastings because the wine's good. So they make at least three different wines, and they do also make a Blanc de Blanc. But the fruit where this wine is from is known for Pinot Noir. The area which is from, so the town is called Verzenay. It's in the Val de Marne, which is in Champagne. And they grow outstanding Pinot Noir in that area.
It's good. It is outstanding. Hmm. I think.
So yeah. the wine definitely spends a little time in its in the bottle.
Okay, so you brought one that's $12. Good job, Adam.
Yeah,
followed his directions exactly. So you have one that's 12 something. You have the other one that's, you said, 20 something.
It's been in the 30s.
30s.
We'll call it. Depends on where you shop.
Schramsberg in the 30s, and then 50 something is the Lubberyear.
Yeah, I know your listeners are from all over the place, so it kind of gives you a range.
Yeah,
of where to go. So definitely even if you can't find a product like Le Conti, go look around on the shelf and look for wines that you know Blanquette. But look, whenever Chef Andrea got on, was talking about Italian food, it made me think about Italian sparkling wine a little bit, and I was going to bring a wine from Italy, but I thought, you know what, three may be plenty.
Well, certainly come back.
But I'll tell you a little bit. So the Italy is really known for, we know Italy for Prosecco.
Mm-hmm.
So Prosecco is all the Prosecco comes from there's two little towns up in northeast Italy. There's Val di Biadene and Conegliano. It's kind of like two hilly areas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where all of the Prosecco, the predominant grape variety, is called Glera, G-L-E-R-A, mm-hmm. Glera.
That makes the Prosecco.
That's right. And so that's where a lot of that Prosecco is coming from, that area up there. There's not as much regulation in Prosecco right now, but I think that will adjust and change. So if you ever see a Prosecco that says Val di Biadene or Conegliano, those are two towns.
That's the champagne of Italy.
Yeah, those would be the most important towns to make Prosecco.
Right. Yeah.
The champagne of Italy is actually called Franciacorta.
Okay.
So Franciacorta is north of Milan. So it's a region just like champagne.
Uh-huh.
Does
it turn out Prosecco or what is it?
No, they call it Franciacorta.
Oh, that's the name of it.
Yeah, that's the name of it. And
Franciacorta.
Yeah, so like one of the most predominant producers there is called Cadelbosco. But there's a lot of great sparkling. You know what? There's great sparkling wine really all over the world.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I wonder if we don't have 50 bottles of wine for every one.
Yeah, it's endless.
That is your, mm-hmm. You know, I'm interested about this. Paul Labriere,
mm-hmm.
who you know, looked like you knew, was in the wine business for a long time at his own wine shop, knew his stuff. A writer, too, of these exciting kind of movies
wine
like
novels.
That. Flying, fly, yeah, something like that. But I've kind of lost track of him. Do you know anything about him?
I don't.
He doesn't know him at all. Yeah. Anyway,
he was a really interesting guy. He really knew his wines.
That's good.
But in fact, he headed one of the major clubs for wine lovers for a while.
Oh, that's cool.
But I've lost track. Last time I bumped into him, he was in California, long term.
All right. 260-6368 is the number. Adam Aquistapace is the voice that you hear that isn't one of ours. And he is here from the North Shore. Thank you very much for making the trek over here in the nasty traffic on the bridge. Because the Aquistapaces have a kind of incredible operation over there for wine, spirits, and beer. And various other things as well. And so we invited him to come in and give us a little tutorial on wine. And not wine, but champagne, because it's champagne season after all.
It is.
And we're tasting a few that he was charged with, and he has fulfilled his mission expertly. A couple of mid-priced champagnes and sparkling wines to bring to a party and impress your friends. And he has done that. We'll review all of them when we come back. 260-6368 is the number. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Stay tuned. You are listening to The Food Show, and we're listening right back at you. It's nice to be here with you talking about food, about restaurants. And this being on the verge of New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve, for that matter, we have brought on some of our friends to talk about the best champagnes that we can get our hands on. Adam asked the question. Aquistapace. I can really say that.
You can.
You know, I just did that for a joke.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You won't hurt me, will you?
It's a tough one.
It is.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm going to hurt you if I pop another cork.
That's right.
That was the most exciting thing that happened today. So
imagine that.
If people wanted to get a Prosecco, for example, or some other, obviously we can't taste a whole bunch of them. So if you had to get some other suggestions, like what did you leave at the store that you were toying with, this or this? I guess I got to leave something. What would that be?
Yeah, so you know, I kind of had an idea of what I was gonna bring. So I looked like I said before. I looked at the area of Franciacorta. It really doesn't get in Italy, so it's the same. It's the equivalent of the Champagne region. There's really not a lot of them available in this market. So I had Cava del Bosco that I was gonna bring.
What is that? Is that
it's a brand.
But is it Italian?
It's Italian. From Franciacorta.
So that's a Prosecco.
It's not.
It's not a French.
Yeah, it's called Franciacorta. So Prosecco is all from, is sparkling wine from that northeast, from the northeast part of Italy.
And Franciacorta is the champagne of Italy.
It is a place. That's correct.
Okay.
It is a place that is, think about it, is north of Milan.
Okay.
And so that is, that they have their own designated
Appellation
region. Italy and France, that, you know, it's all about the place. Like we talked about that word before, provenance.
Yes.
Provenance is very important. I mean, places like Chianti. Chianti is a place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And there's rules.
Bordeaux
and
is a place.
Yeah,
yeah,
and there's
right.
rules and regulations that regulate the wine.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's
and
endless.
So we look over here, we've got La Brière from Champagne, and we have Schramsberg from California. And from the wines from California, there's nothing that mandates quality on that label or that bottle. So it's all about the brand. Like, we know that Schramsberg makes good wine.
Yeah.
And then, but when you think about from Champagne, there's a certain level, minimum level of quality that you have to have from there. First off, the real estate's so expensive. So
is that the truth?
There's not a lot of room to really to mess around, if that makes sense. Same thing with Napa. I mean,
exactly. Yeah.
It's such a small place.
This is the perfect moment to reach over and push this button and get Mike.
Yes. Mike, come on in.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Big fan of La Brière. I think it was the Blanc de Blanc that Adam brought to a dinner at Pardo's one night.
Yep. That's
but
it.
my favorite of the three is the rosé. The rosé is absolutely delicious.
It's the Epilogue, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Well, they have a new fan, that's for sure.
Well, all three of them are very good, but I just think the rosé is exceptional. Another good $12 wine that Adam sells is a cava called St. Paul.
Oh, that is good. That is good.
What is it again?
Yeah.
It's a cava. It's a Spanish sparkling wine.
I know what a cava is, Mike.
Well, I didn't know what you knew.
No, it's true. Yeah, Castel St. Paul is very good. Well, the thing is, it's a Brut Nature, so it is drier than any of these wines that we have up here. But you are completely correct. That stuff is awesome for the price.
A lot of bang for the buck for $12, you know?
It is. It's very good. It's very good. And I don't see it a whole lot, but it's
good. Okay, so Adam, let me ask you a question. Of your customers who come to see you, do you have more Mikes or more me?
What? Ooh, that is a great question.
Again, they just come out. Just go ahead.
You know, I would say we kind of have a lot of. I mean, so Mr. Mike is very
Adam,
passionate.
Adam,
yes,
wait,
sir. What are
Adam
you?
Adam knows me as Keonti Mike.
Yeah, Keonti Mike. I know who you are. And if he tells me that something, if I haven't had something and he tells me it's good, I need to get it.
Right.
Put it this way.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but for me, I appreciate
all
Mr. Mike,
levels.
you're on the level of extremely, extremely educated and experienced wine drinker. And I really, I really appreciate that because I learn things from customers which I really like. I love good tips because, you know, I don't know everything.
Right.
And I remember when I first got into the wine business, I was so embarrassed when people would ask me questions. There was a little bit of fear that I had, when someone would ask me something and I didn't know. So I spent years doing everything that I could to research. I read every wine book I could get a hold of.
And that's a lot.
Yeah, and I really did. I outlined them, and it was always great because I had great customers who would tell me about things and would teach me about things, and I would go home and I would look it up. And whether it be wine, I mean, there was a gentleman when we first got into the beer business, and he completely schooled me on beer. I felt, you know, but in a way that made me feel like he put his arm around me and said, "Look, son, this is a world that you're gonna because I'm the purveyor,
right.
But I don't know as much.
Nobody
as,
knows
as my,
everything.
As my as I don't know as much about certain categories as right. our customers do, and that's uh-huh. and that's the truth. All I can do is, you know, if I don't know, I'll learn about it.
Do your customers that know more about you respond to you knowing less than them in a way that is dismissive? Not really, huh?
Sometimes.
They do?
Well, really? Yeah, a little bit. So,
I don't think there are too many people that shop at Adam's store that know more than he does.
Well,
I really don't think.
Well, you know, there's I appreciate that. And but you know, I know about other things that they may not know about. How about that?
There you go.
And I do appreciate it.
I remember Max Zander told me a long time ago, it's not the salesman selling six packs of Grand Cru Burgundy that's making the money. It's the guy selling 100 cases of Yellowtail, you know?
Isn't that the truth, huh?
The only reason you can sell the expensive stuff is because the inexpensive stuff pays the bills, you know?
That's right.
That is the truth in the wine business. And,
it's the truth in any business.
Yeah, and I, there's not a...
Sell to the classes, eat with the masses. Sell with the masses, eat with the classes.
The truth is our volume allows us to do cool stuff, mm-hmm. and we're able to bring things in and not, running a business is difficult, and running a wine shop, you know, there's or a restaurant, you know, there's a lot of, you know, people that, oh, I'm gonna go get in the restaurant business. Look,
I love that.
I'm going to open a bar. I'm going to open up a wine shop. It is real. I mean, you're going to be unloading the boxes.
Work.
You're going to be cleaning stuff up. You're going to be cleaning the bathrooms.
Mopping the floor, sure.
Yeah, and everybody has their different level of standard.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it when we get customers who teach me.
Yeah.
I really do. And Mr. Mike is a great customer, and I appreciate
one,
it.
One final thing before I go. Adam has the best price on 2008 Dom Perignon. by about $30 a bottle.
I think you're right.
He's got the best price of just about anything, doesn't he? I mean, that's kind of the thing. Yeah.
And it's good.
The 2008 Dom Perignon is a spectacularly good wine.
And I opened up a bottle per your recommendation. I got myself a bottle and opened it.
I ratted you out,
right,
Mike. I told him you went to Sam's the other day.
No, it's fine.
Well, I got a bottle of Chandon. It was really good. All right. Y'all have a good evening.
Thank you, Mr. Mike.
Bye. 260-6368. We're going to keep Adam to the top of the hour if he doesn't mind, because we've got more to talk about. And you are welcome to call him if you'd like. 260-6368. Can we switch off to something else at your store in Mandeville?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Tell me about, your dad was telling me about the humidor.
Yeah.
Okay. So they have this humidor in Mandeville in
For cigars?
The corner of the store. And your dad told me a mind-blowing statistic about women.
Well,
only trouble.
Maybe he hasn't shared it with me, and maybe we should. Maybe we shouldn't share it.
He said that women account for about 35% of his business. Is that true?
For cigars?
Yes.
It's very possible.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very possible.
That's...
Yeah, I wasn't sure where you were going with this.
Oh, yeah, you never know. Yeah. No, but I mean, I was shocked by that.
So we do sell. Women do buy a lot.
Those Mandeville moms.
Women do buy a lot.
It's
really interesting. You know, the whole humidor in that location was a little bit of an afterthought. We had this weird corner that we weren't sure what to do with. It's the truth. There was this weird corner we weren't sure what to do with, and I had this idea that we were going to carry cigars in that store because we never really carried. This is the truth. So we never really carried cigars in our Covington location. I have a small tabletop humidor that I carry a few things, but to be honest, there's a cigar shop in Covington that they're great customers and they do a great job, and I've never wanted.
Oh, I know you're talking.
And
about.
I never wanted to compete with them. Yeah, uh-huh. And so, I mean, what difference is it going to make for me to sell a few cigars? Yeah, but that's their business. So yeah. I made that a rational choice about that in that location. But in our Mandeville store, you know, I just really, you know, I didn't care, so I did what I wanted to do. So we took that corner and we said, look, maybe we can put a humidor or a walk-in wine room. And we said, well, I'm not really sure how that'll work out. So we built this humidor and we really fought about how big it was going to be. And in hindsight, we would have tripled the size. So
that's just crazy.
It's not a real big space.
Wow.
And I didn't even know that people smoke cigars.
I know.
I really didn't, because I mean I don't smoke cigars.
Because they stink, for one thing.
Yeah. So, but I didn't. You know, but there's, you know, we sell a lot of cigars, and but it's to individuals who just want to come buy a stick, and it's different than selling cigarettes. I'll tell you that. So premium cigars is a completely different thing.
Well, it's one of those very high end things.
It is, but we sell cigars that are very, you know. You know, $2 a stick to you know, $25 a stick,
really?
And so all over the place. But it's, you know, being in the state of Louisiana is a little bit challenging because the state makes more money off of tobacco than I do, because of our excise taxes are much higher than our neighbors.
Uh-huh.
But I make it work. But let me tell you, conditions matter for tobacco. I mean, we keep our building properly, the temperature proper for wine, but humidor is a whole different world. So we built this where you're closer to outside than you are inside. And so we have a reverse osmosis.
I know,
system.
It's really cool the way you have it set up in there. But we have to take another break. Yeah, that means we have to take another break. We'll be right back, 260-6368. We're talking to Adam Aquistapace for just another 20 minutes.
Do you like hamburgers?
No, you have a question about any of this, give us a call. Our number is 260-6368. Call all of those in succession, and we'll be successful. And there's this one other matter, and it is fried
seafood.
Seafood,
yeah.
Which is what I'm interested in at the moment. You know, for a long time, I was a big fan of fried seafood, and I found that there were some places that were much better than others, and the prices were about the same, and I couldn't quite figure it out for a good while. But I do have a pretty good idea of what's going on there. And it is that if you get something like catfish and you put it in a fryer, and the oil in the fryer slowly starts getting on the brown side, maybe darker and darker. On the other hand, the other seafood you have going on, lighter seafood and frequent changes of the oil. These are the things that really make the difference. It makes everything taste fresher and look better. And this is why people do go crazy over fried catfish. They still are doing it. All of this, 10 locations, the New Orleans hamburger. Oh, yeah, the New Orleans hamburger and
seafood.
Seafood. And they are waiting.
Also has good hamburgers.
Hamburgers, too.
Grilled.
Grilled.
To order. Crusty on the outside, juicy on the inside.
Yeah,
you
all those
seafood
things.
Seafood Spice-alicious. They have salads. Mm-hmm. They have poor boys platters. They have local dishes like red beans and rice and creamy seafood pastas and char-grilled oysters now.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
New Orleans
quite
hamburger
a deal.
And seafood.
And I don't remember if either of us mentioned this, but they are doing grilled oysters.
Yep. Grilled oysters.
And that got to be something that you could only find in a few places, but now go to any of the locations of New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company, and there it is. It's just the way you like it.
New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood. Go see them at any of their 10 locations around town. Okay, we have just a few minutes left to talk to Adam Aquistapace. If you would like to chat with him, he has a wealth of knowledge. 260-6368 is the number. Okay, let's talk about personal stuff. So, you are having your own party, and you have this vast array of things from which to choose. What's going to be on your table?
Oh, man. What are we eating, or what are we drinking?
Nope. What are you drinking?
So, you know, that is probably the most difficult question
that I face every
Christmas Eve.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, to be honest with you.
Your wife doesn't tell you what to do?
No. You know, we have three little kids and by the time I get home, it's usually a little chaos over there.
Yeah.
So my wife, she is a great cook And so I'm very lucky that she cooks all kinds of things, and I love it when she tries to experiment. And she's, you know, most everything she does is really
good.
is really good.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it does sound good. So you know, I'm not sure what I'm gonna pick, but I would, you know, I'd say last year I had some white Bordeaux. So I love Bordeaux. I love good Bordeaux, like old Bordeaux.
Or, as we call it here in Louisiana, Boudreaux.
Boudreaux, that's right. Yeah. But I don't like it to be expensive. I just like it to be good.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
So I like white Bordeaux often pairs, something that's real just clean and crisp. But I gravitate towards wines that may be a little bit different, a little more simple. So, you know, there was a wine, and I know I'm really diverting off here, but so when we, for many years, people would say, well, what – they would have a wedding reception. They're like, well, what wine did you do? Which wine did you have your wedding? Mm-hmm. Thinking that I'm going to say, oh, something extravagant. And I didn't. I picked this little winery and from Italy. It's right outside of Pisa. It's called Il Ghizzano. And at the time, it was probably, a $12 or $13 bottle of wine. Now I think it's all the way up to like $17 mm-hmm. or $16. But it's just a real simple Sangiovese with a little bit of Merlot. But to me, I like if I'm going to pair food with wine, I want something that's really going to complement, not going to overpower the food in any way. I know a lot of people like to have wine. I mean, if you want wine with food, you don't want something that's going to crush it. You don't want something that's going to be bigger. You know, California Chardonnay is very, very good. Big, buttery, oaky Chardonnay.
Yep.
But it doesn't go with everything.
No, it doesn't. You're very much right about that.
California makes good wines.
If I could tell you about something that happened to us on the radio show years ago, there was a guy who was talking about this almost endlessly. And if I could remember all the parts of it, I'd tell you the story. But it was really peculiar. So the coming up later, you know, what can I do?
it's just a little tease. So, okay, we're coming up on New Year's Eve,
yes.
which has great pressure for everyone. Yep. And if you have little kids, I guarantee you're not going anywhere. So you and your wife are going to sit somewhere and the kids are in bed, and you are going to pop open what as you ring in not only a year but a new decade? What's going to be there?
Oh, it'll definitely be champagne.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like what?
It'll definitely be champagne. I don't know what
you're
I'll.
Going for
I don't
the
know
big
what,
stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what I'll pick. It'll probably be something. Probably something fancier, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I'm not. I'm not sure. I mean, so Chianti Mike tells me, maybe a 2008 vintage Dom Perignon, maybe. But you know, I love to drink champagne. I bring wine home to at night, but sometimes I have a Coravin. So if you guys don't have a Coravin, I highly mm-hmm. recommend a Coravin, because a Coravin allows you to drink very nice wines without having to open the bottle. And so if you're like mm-hmm. us and you just want to have a glass or two glasses
uh-huh.
of wine,
yeah, uh-huh.
And I'm not, you know, we sell them, but I'm not advertising for them, but
right.
but it is a very, very, very practical thing to do if you want to open up good wine.
And it reseals it, basically.
It just, it puts a needle in the bottle.
Yeeks. That's
yeah.
But a Coravin.
Coravin, yeah. It's very cool.
Okay.
And so you can use it with some older wine.
Okay.
So I don't know. You know what? I'll probably go through the shelves and I'll probably decide.
Yeah, just that day.
Whatever I get excited about. But you know, for New Year's, we actually go to a friend's house, one of my good friends, and we have oysters.
Uh-huh.
We get sacks of oysters, and I can shuck oysters until I can't stand up.
Oh, every time we
it's
do
kind
a
of therapeutic oh,
a picnic, I'm gonna let you know and
I'm telling you, I love it. I love shucking oysters. I love it.
Really
okay.
hard work.
It's mindless. It's mindless.
Have you ever seen that contraption thing? Where
yeah,
you pop
yeah,
it?
But I don't need it.
Yeah,
I love it, and I'll play around with it. And so people will say, oh,
it's a manly thing.
Yeah, you're like, oh, you don't have to keep shucking all those. I was like, no. I'm going to shuck the oysters.
Okay.
Just keep bringing me some wine.
Okay.
Wow,
this is
the luckiest employee or friend.
Yeah, there you go. Let's go to Michael.
Wait. We'll go to him in just a second because I just remembered what it was I was trying to tell you. But just give me a moment on this. We had someone on the show and we were talking about this, and I made the statement that I thought that champagne is one of the few things that tastes good with everything.
Yes.
And I've been making that point for a long time, and almost all the time I am told, yeah, you're right. You know, there really is. And then a guy showed up who said that he disagreed with that. And I said, well, what's your problem with champagne? And he said, I have no problem with champagne. The thing I have a problem with is the chocolate that goes with the champagne. I don't think the chocolate and champagne go together. He had the only combination that we've ever heard of.
Interesting.
Strawberries are the other thing that's supposed to go with champagne. All right, let's go to Michael 75, who has been everywhere. So right. I'm sure he's going to be a challenge for you. Hi, right. Michael.
Hey, everybody. How are y'all?
Doing great.
Great, great. Adam,
yes, sir.
Wife and I were in the Champagne region of France, in a little place they call Reims. We call it Reims, some Americans do.
That's right.
But Reims is the pronunciation. And we went to the winery that serves Veuve Clicquot.
Yes, sir.
And so my wife said she wanted the sweetest one, and they gave us a demi-sec. Was that correct?
It could be, yes, sir. Yeah, that's the sweetest one that we carry from them, yes, sir.
Right. Okay. Good. Also, do you remember this great movie called Sideways?
Yes, sir. I do.
Yeah, it was great about a wine tour and everything. And at the end, the depressed guy takes he goes into a McDonald's and he has a little McDonald's paper cup, and he puts this great wine. I think it was 84, but I'm not sure. Cheval Blanc.
Yes, sir.
Was that the right wine?
That's a good one.
I don't know if it's I'm not sure of the vintage, but I believe that's the wine. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, but that was the end. He pours this $1,000 wine into to the paper cup at McDonald's. It was a real ironic thing, but it was funny too. So we lived on a street called Chateau Pontet-Canet.
Yes.
So in 2005, the Chateau Pontet-Canet, it was their greatest year in the last 100 years. It was spectacular. So I ordered three bottles of it from France through Mr. Martin at Martin Wine Cellar, and I had to wait like 2 years to get it in. That's a Bordeaux, right?
It could be.
Yeah, yeah. So so you must have bought futures.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So anyway, when I got it in, I thought I got it in like 2009. It said it doesn't fully mature until 2019, so I had to wait 10 years to drink it.
And? Did you drink it?
It was fabulous, especially with what Marianne likes the best, sea and foie gras.
I like it. So, yeah, Ponte Canet makes outstanding wine. And go ahead, I'm sorry.
Sorry, the 2005 was the best. But what were you saying?
I was gonna say so two things that you said. One, the irony of the Chateau Cheval Blanc that's in the movie Sideways is that the main character of the movie spent the entire movie bashing Merlot and talking about the virtues of Pinot Noir.
Yeah, it was funny.
And so that wine is mostly Merlot. So Cheval Blanc is one of the most prestigious Merlot and Cabernet Franc wines in the world.
It was going on in that area like crazy. There were vineyards being pulled out of
the ground.
Out of the ground, to replant with something else that was more
of that
in vogue.
Silly movie?
That movie Sideways had a real impact. But the winery you're talking about, Chateau Ponte Canet, has actually moved. I think in the 2010 vintage or so, moved completely to biodynamic methods.
And so
wineries have had some issues with that, but they really do make great wine. I've had some old vintages of their stuff, but they make good stuff.
Yeah, it was great. This year, 2019, when I finally got to taste it, it was great. But my favorite wine movie is, I'm trying to think of the name, but anyway, what it was 1976, the 200th anniversary of America. A wine guy in Paris comes, he said, I'm going to go to the Napa Valley and get some wines just to celebrate America and actually have them in a blind testing here in Paris. And I'm sure they have no chance. It was a white and a red and from Napa. And they have no chance against the great French wines. So you know the movie I'm talking about, right?
That was a classic.
I think that predates Adam's life.
it does, but that was the great challenge, Paris.
The movie was, I'm trying to think of the name, but of course the Americans won, and it was a real movie. It was a real life story.
That's right.
The greatest upset in history. I got the name now. Bottle Shock.
Ah, yes. Yeah. I think it's actually wine stores named that. All right, Michael, what else got?
Last thing. There's a great soul food restaurant I discovered out in Kenner near the airport on Airline Highway in Williams. It's called Hurst, H-U-R-S-T. You need to try that.
Okay, I'm going to try Fiery Crab. I want to hear your report. All right, thanks, Michael. I'll be in touch.
I'm passing Fiery Crab right now. I haven't tried it yet.
Swing in and tell me about it, okay?
Okay, but I'll see you on
yes.
27th,
yes.
right?
Yes, we're on. All right, thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, great, thanks.
Okay, Adam, I have one big question for you before you leave.
Okay, anything.
So, what don't you get? What do you hear a lot about and you taste it and you go, what?
That's a good question. That is probably the hardest thing anyone's ever asked me before.
You must have had that experience where you taste something and you go, oh, what?
You know, usually that's the case whenever I taste a wine and then I see what the price is.
I just don't see it.
Because, you know, I like things that are just well made and I try a lot of things. I love aged Burgundy. I love it.
Well, you love Burgundy, you said.
Yeah,
no, you love Bordeaux.
Bordeaux. But I loved aged Bordeaux. I just can't appreciate a lot of them when they're young.
I can't appreciate the
price
on it. That's
it has gotten very, well, because, I mean, the area is tiny. It is teeny, tiny.
And when you see some of the individual vineyards there, it's like a postage stamp. In some of it.
And it really is small. But you know what? You know, a lot of people, when they think about California wine, obviously Napa and Sonoma come to mind. But my numbers may be off a little bit. But
Paso
I want to say.
Robles.
But I want to say, but that's right. But when people say, oh, Napa, California, they think.
Right,
Napa,
only those
they think
two,
Napa,
right.
Napa only represents like 2%.
Yeah, there's Santa Barbara, there's
of
Paso
the wine.
Robles.
And then Sonoma, which is big,
yeah,
represents like 4%
yeah.
of the wine. So you're talking about the two most famous regions in California representing only 6% of the wine produced.
Hmm.
Yeah. And so that's why all of these other regions are gaining notoriety.
They
because,
need to get some PR people
in
there.
Yeah, there's some great wines in Paso.
Yeah.
There's great wines
in Santa
Barbara.
Well, that's going to be a hot place, Paso
yeah.
Robles.
And so, you know, yeah. but, you know, California, Napa and Sonoma in particular, I mean, those are one of the best places on the planet to grow
well,
grapes.
Well, look, I mean, it's like one of the best places on the planet for weather.
Yeah. Well, there was people say, oh, so what's the better vintage? Is it this one or this one? I'm like, well, you know, it's both of them. They're both. They don't have bad.
It's like choosing your children.
They don't have bad vintages.
Right.
It's not like it's not like we're in Bordeaux and Burgundy where you can get frost.
Uh-huh.
And so when he was talking about Ponte Canet, I mean, do you have some of these wineries when they have like mildew or something because they can't add anything?
Oh.
I mean, they lose all kinds.
Millions,
of, you know, the weather's nasty over there sometimes.
Okay, so one last question. Yeah. Who do you think balances the new tech with the old stuff best? That must be a tough thing for a winery.
Yeah, I have an answer for that. I don't think it's as much as what has happened in the United States, but in other parts of the world where there are areas where they could benefit hugely from planting grapes and fermenting them and the whole range of it, but they never did get around to it because, you know, they didn't have the know-how to make it happen.
Yeah.
And as a result, now they've caught up with us a lot. There is wine coming from every place in the world and not bad either.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So go get it.
So
it seems like the way to go.
I mean, this is the thing. In general, countries that don't have that aren't historically wine producers, that don't have a long history, are much more adapt to taking new technology. Like a country like Australia. So Australia is one of the ones that lead the world.
In that bio stuff?
And wine making practices. Oh, you mean as far as bio?
Talk about new tech versus...
Oh, I mean, so
I
like...
I got like a minute.
Yeah, so like bio, like so bio things like organics. This is the thing. So we get asked all the time about organics. This is the thing. Winery, the rules, when you go to Europe and they tell you everything is organic, the rules are different.
Oh, yeah, they really are.
The rules are different over there.
They really are.
They're different over there than they are over
the
here.
The rules of everything, five-star hotels, for example.
Yeah, so the rule, so what's considered organic in Europe would never make, or not all of them, but a lot of cases, could never be qualified as organic in the United States.
All right.
If that answers that question or not.
Thank you for coming.
No, thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I'm sure we'll have you again and again and again as years go by. And this is Tom Fitzmaurice. You can go to our website, nomenu.com, and learn a lot of the things that you might be looking for. And I want to remind you that the fish of the day in Halifax is halibut.
God, do not let him say.
And one more thing, the area from which the champagnes grow in France, the way they pronounce it around there, and go look this up because it's really amazing. R-E-I-M-S is pronounced Hlon. Hlon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.